Here's another message from Pastor Phil Carswell from Life Christian Church.
We want to talk about this morning principles for managing your life. Who knows that life can be very demanding? Oh, in good company here then. There are pressures to achieve, pressures to perform, and pressures to survive. Some of these are internal pressures, pressures that we put on ourselves. Some of these are external pressures, pressures from normal life happenings, and pressures from other people. So we want to look at managing your life, living an effective life. I don't know about you, but I only have one life on earth, and I want to make my life count. Are you with me? And what are people going to remember about my life when I've gone? And what are they going to remember about your life when you're gone? Interesting question. I looked up some of these grave headstones. These are some of the things that were said. Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake. Stepped on the gas instead of the brake. Then there's another one that caught my eye. And it said, Chuck was brave, Chuck was strong, but the bungee cord was just too long. Wow. In all seriousness, though, I wonder what people are going to say after we've gone on. What sort of impact are we going to make? Ruth Graham, wife of Billy Graham, travelled along a road where they were doing lots of road works over quite a period of time, and she was taken with a certain sign that was along the side of the road. And so when she was coming to time when she was going to move off to heaven, which happened a few years ago now, she said to Billy and the rest of her family, I have found something that I want on my tombstone. And this is what she wrote on her tombstone, and it's there today. It says, end of construction, thank you for your patience. Oh, I think that is absolutely brilliant. She left a legacy, and we need to as well. I want to leave some fingerprints behind. I'm thinking like the ripple effect from a stone that's thrown into a pond. I don't know about you, but I want to be about impacting and influencing the lives of people who God has brought into my space during my life. And when I'm gone, I want them to remember not so much about what I owned or not so much about how much I had in the bank. I want them to remember that I was a person who was wholly devoted to Jesus. And though flawed, that my heart was set on pleasing him in life. Are you with me? Now, while he was here on earth, Jesus was constantly under pressure. He had demands on his time, little personal privacy. He was consistently interrupted, repeatedly misunderstood and criticized. He was under enormous pressures, but he remained at peace under pressure. He was never in a hurry. There was an extraordinary calmness about his life. Let's learn some principles of life from the life of Jesus this morning. The first thing, principles for managing life, is know who you are. This is what Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When he spoke to the Jewish leaders, religious leaders in John chapter 10, he said this, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his own and sent him into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do what the Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. See, Jesus knew who he was. If you and I are not clear about who we are, someone else is going to tell you who you are. And you're probably going to take that role on. And then likely feel the pressure to be somebody that you aren't. And this sort of pressure and stress in life results in us wearing masks. We feel pressured to perform, pressured to conform, and we set unrealistic standards for our lives. And if our inside doesn't match the outside, eventually there's going to be a crisis. And I have had many friends over the years who have been strong in the Christian faith, but really have just really been on the outside performance, and it's not been real on the inside. A crisis in life has come and they have gone from the faith. It has not been real. Friends, the inside needs to be the same as the outside. We need to know who we are. We need to know and accept ourselves, our strengths, our weaknesses, we've all got them. Our gifts, our abilities, and our passions, we need to be comfortable in our own skin. A young guy said to me, I'll never be complete until I have a wife. Well, that's when the problems start. Seriously, though, you need to be complete in yourself. Don't ever think that you're going to be complete when you have somebody else with you. You need to be complete in yourself. Comfortable in your own skin. The starting point is this. I know who I am by knowing whose I am. I hope you get hold of that. You know, or you need to know who you are by knowing whose you are. If you've said yes to Jesus, you're a child of God. You were put on earth for a purpose, and you are deeply loved by God. You're accepted by Him. And He has a plan for this world, and He has a plan for how you will partner with Him in that. Knowing that, of course, is a great, powerful influence in our lives. It releases us and enables us to be just who we are. Starting point. Secondly, begin to unpack your bag. You were born pre-packed. You came out of the womb uniquely equipped. God packed you on purpose for a purpose. A friend of ours once grabbed the wrong bag at the airport. The luggage looked like his. It was the same size, the same material, and the same colour. But he didn't notice his mistake till he got to his place of accommodation and he opened the bag. The clothes in it were the wrong size, the wrong style, and the wrong gender. Whoa! Interesting times for him. But I'll tell you, no one else wants to live out of somebody else's bag. God didn't hand you your granddad's bag or your aunt's bag. He personally and deliberately packed your own bag. And we need to unpack our bag and discover who we are and be comfortable with that. Accept who you are. Yes, we are still under construction, like Ruth Graham said. And we need to be honest about that. And where I am is where I am. As long as I have a desire to move on in that construction stage, praise God, we need to be honest about where we are. That's being the same on the outside as the inside. There's peace in that. There's a calmness that comes out of that in our lives. Principles for managing your life. The second point is, know who you're trying to please. Jesus said, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who has sent me. Jesus knew who he was trying to please. It was a settled issue with him. Who knows that trying to please everybody all the time is a recipe for failure? Can't be done. And living to always please others is a real trap. You please one group, but you don't please another group. This is a conflict that occurs there all the time. If we live to please others, there are three things that will occur in our lives. Three C's. We'll be subject, and when criticism comes at least, we will struggle with criticism because we're concerned about what others think about us. We will struggle with competition because we will worry about whether someone else is getting ahead of us. We will struggle when there's conflict because I'm threatened when someone disagrees with you. Pleasing others is not the goal we have in life. No, we need to be at peace with other people. And I thought about the football field. For you who play football, you know, our NRL for you guys from Queensland, okay? But you're on the field and you're running out of half forward flank and the crowd is watching on. And when you drop the ball, they howl at you, don't they? But when you do something right and you deliver the ball correctly, everybody cheers. You're a winner. But you see, the ebb and flow of that is just like in life when we're trying to please the crowd and please everybody. I want to suggest to you that in the grandstand, there should only be one person. And it's God alone that we are seeking to please. And we need to hear the applause from God. And it needs to be our desire and our objective and our discipline to please God in life. If we focus on pleasing God, it will simplify your life. You will always be doing the right thing, the thing that pleases God, regardless of what anybody else thinks. And Paul says in Ephesians 5, find out what pleases the Lord. Let that be our focus and our discipline in life. It will simplify our lives. Principles for managing your life. Number three is know what you're trying to accomplish. Jesus said in John chapter 8, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I come from and I know where I'm going. Jesus knew what he was about. His objectives and priorities were crystal clear. Listen to this in Luke chapter 4. When the sun was setting, the people brought Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them, would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because this is why I was sent. You see, he was clear in his mind why he'd come. He was clear in his mind where he was going. He was clear in his objective. We need to be clear as well in our objectives. Every day, we either live by priorities or we live by pressures. We need to determine what is important in life and set our priorities with those things in focus. The tyranny of the urgent will push you around. You will be pressured by what other people think is important. If your goals are not clear in life, if your priorities are not set, not everything that is urgent is important. Who knows that? Not everything that is urgent is important. The phone is a classic. The phone rings at mealtime. It is urgent, but it is not important. Long ago in my former work, when people used to come to talk and we'd be talking about fairly important things for them, if the phone rang, I would not answer the phone and get hooked up with some lawyer or something and create a problem for me and be distracted from what was going on in our conversation. Okay? Not everything that is important is urgent either. Not everything that is important is urgent. See, relationships, family, emotional health, they're all important issues. They're not urgent. But we need to give time to those things in our set of priorities in life. Preparation and good organization reduces pressures. Having clear goals and priorities simplifies life. Folk, can I encourage you to spend a few minutes every day talking to God about your daily schedule? What's on the go today in your daily schedule? God, I want to talk to you about this. I want to put this before you because I need your guidance. I need your help. Can you sort out in level of order what things are important for me here to achieve today? Now, we're talking about principles for managing your life. We've said know who you are, know who you're trying to please, know what you're trying to accomplish, and fourthly, keep life in balance. Now, I said there was five, so there's one after this. Just relax. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Jesus recognized that the disciples had not eaten and they needed to rest away from the hustle and bustle. The King James Version says, "Come apart and rest a while." Vance Havner, in his commentary on that, says, "If you don't come apart and rest, you will come apart." I think you've got the point that we want to make here, how important it is to be able to be care for our bodies, physically and emotionally. A friend of ours was a school chaplain. She is a great lady and she is a real character. Some time ago, she had a meeting at Campbelltown and she travelled down on her own in an early model Nissan Pulsar that her husband had done up and faithfully worked on. On the way home, when the minute was finished, she was pretty buzzed up. She turned the music up really loud and she was singing along loud as we do, some of us. And she wasn't aware that she was still in third gear. And she travelled at 110 k's in third gear, unaware that the engine was roaring its head off. No rev counter, and she didn't understand that anyway. But the revs were way over what the engine was designed for, and the inevitable happened. The engine blew. In fact, when the hubby got there, he noticed that a piece of the engine had blown right through the bonnet. Probably a piece of a piston, I reckon. Major damage. Hubby was less than pleased. But the point I want to make to you is our bodies were not designed to live in constant overdrive. We cannot consistently live with the rev counter over the limit. Something will give, physically or emotionally. And to function in a healthy, productive way, our bodies need rest. They need a healthy diet, exercise, and recreation. Have you ever noticed the word recreation? It's two words. Re-creation. It's rebuilding your body, redeveloping your body. I don't know whether you know about sleep, but if you read in the Old Testament, way back in Genesis chapter 1, when the day starts, it says, "And there was night, and then there was day." So your day actually starts in the evening. So if you want to get good sleep, then the best sleep is between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. Get to bed early. Get to bed early. Diet, exercise, and recreation. Needing rest, a healthy diet, exercise, and recreation. Good physical and emotional health provides a firm foundation for the healthy management of the pressures and stresses of life. Folks, I want to tell you this is a choice. You need to draw a line in the sand. From this day forward, I'm going to care for myself physically and emotionally. When we are in shape physically and emotionally, we are better equipped to fight the battles that we need to fight in life, the struggles and the issues that come along and come our way. principles. No. Poke the person next to you. Are they still awake? Good. One more to go. Principles for managing your life. And the fifth one is make personal prayer a priority. Listen to what Jesus did in Mark chapter 1. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Time alone with God is an essential. We not manage life well unless this is in place. Time alone with God is an essential. Time alone with God is the decompression chamber for life's pressures and stresses. Time alone with God is a foundation stone for spiritual and emotional health. We're talking about prayer time, Bible time, think time. Time with God first thing in the morning is ideal. But if that doesn't work for you, then you need to find a time that is ideal. It matters not, as long as it works for you. Journaling is fantastic. But that if that doesn't work for you, find something that does. Because it's an essential part of your good health in a spiritual way. Fortifies us to be able to undertake life and to cope with the stresses that we do cope with these days. There needs to be Bible application, think, prayer, stop and listen. What is God saying to me? Stop and listen. Walk along the beach. What is God saying? What have I learned from the scriptures today that applies to me right here? Folk, we need to make this a priority. It is a choice we make. Draw a line in the sand. I'm going to put this into practice in my life. We need two things, a desire and a discipline. Now, if we haven't got the desire to do that, then we got a problem. We need the desire. From there, we need the discipline. This is how I'm going to do it. A plan. Put it into operation. Spend time with God on a regular basis, on a daily basis, if you can manage that, whenever it suits you. So this morning, how are you managing life? How's it all going? How is life at the moment? Are you managing it well? And we're all on a journey. We're on various, as I look around here, we're various ages. Just as we are various ages, we're various stages of life's journey. And we are various stages of our spiritual journey. We are in various parts of the construction stage of what God is doing, what Jeff was talking about this morning. Now, it doesn't matter where you're on the journey, whereabouts you are on the journey, as long as we have a desire to move on in the journey and to grow strong in God and to allow the Spirit of God to work in us.